My name is Earl, and I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date's April 16, 2006. That's a real important date to me. I remember very specifically the events that happened on that day, which was basically the end of my actual drinking and using time. What it was like for me in the beginning was started out drinking in high school, hanging out with people, just trying to have a good time. But, I noticed really early on there was something different about my drinking. I was usually the guy that ended up passed out, or I was the guy that things got written on my face, or, I was always that guy that was like ended up naked at the party or something. I was always the one that people were talking about, And, in my mind, I thought everybody else was drinking the same way, but apparently they weren't, I dropped out of high school pretty early. One of my parents had a vacation home down in Mexico, and I went down there for a summer, and I never came back. I stayed down there for about 8 years, and the reason I stayed down there was because it was like this party town down in Mexico where, and during the week, there would be, just the local people from the town, but then every weekend, like, Americans would come down to ride their motorcycles and stuff, and it was like a party time, and it was just every single weekend, it was a whole lot of fun, and, for me, it was fun for a while, but, as my disease progressed, started mixing in more and more problems with my fun, it got to the point where I was introduced to, white powders and other things, and once I started sprinkling that into the mix, it was on. And I had a kid at a very early age. I was about 20 years old when I had her. You would think that something like that would curb, someone's desire to keep drinking and whatnot, but that really didn't happen for me. My drinking and my using became the first thing in my life. And it got to the point when I was living down there in Mexico where I was getting more involved with people who I swore I would never get involved with, and I was doing things I swore I would never do. But in order to maintain, my using and drinking, it was so important because it was the one thing that took away the fear, and it was the thing that took away my insecurity, and it was the thing that made me feel whole and made me feel like a person. Because without those things, I was none of that. And as soon as I put a little bit of that in me, everything was good. The only problem was that once I started putting that in me, the thing that told me, okay, it's time to stop, you had enough, that didn't happen. And it always went on to more and more and more addictive things. And with that became progressively worse behavior. And also worse situations I found myself in, Many occasions I'd been arrested in Mexico and thought I was going to spend a lot of time in jail down there. And somehow I would always get out, and eventually I got into enough trouble down there where I came back to the States, and I thought that if I came back here and things would be different, but the reality of it was I just did a geographic and I was here in the States doing the exact same stuff I found the same exact people once again, and I was doing worse things than I said I would never do, Through my disease, I lost custody of my child. My sister took her from me. I'll give you an example of how bad my disease was for me. I was going to court to try to, get my daughter back. And the day came when the judge was going to rule on, whether I got her back or not. And the reality of it was all I had to do was show up. And then I would get some kind of visitation at the very least. And the night before, I started drinking. And I thought I said I was just going to have a couple. And it turned into a party, and other things happened, and I didn't wake up the next day. And I didn't get to see my kid for 3.5 years, And that was enough to make me stop either. That just fueled the party more, But for me, that was the places that my disease took me, Because I love my kid very much, and there's nothing more that I wanted than to get her back, and I would go to any length to get her back except stop drinking. That was the one thing I wouldn't do. Eventually, I'll fast forward up to April 15th, the day before I got sober, by that point in my disease, I was very involved in criminal activity, and it was just what came with the territory, and I found myself in a hotel room. I checked in with somebody else's ID, and I was inside of there making checks and, you know, getting ready to go do some crime. And, you know, there was a knock on the door, and there was the police. And I remember, you know, there's a lot of humiliating things that happened for me that day. One of them was I was in the middle of shaving my head when they got there. And got about this far. Yeah. And I don't know if anybody here has been to jail before, but when you go to jail, they take your picture and you get to wear it on your wristband the whole time you're there. I can laugh about that today, you know. I wasn't very funny that day. It was, you know, I remember being there, and I remember it got real serious, you know, because, you know, they brought in a special kind of investigator because of the crime that I was doing, and they had an individual bag for every piece of evidence, and, you know, and I'm looking at this bed in there, and they had my computer, and they had like 30 or 40 bags on there with a different check in each one, and the guy explained to me that each one of those was a charge, and it got real, you know, and I remember how tired I was. I remember I felt humiliated, I felt defeated, but at the same time I felt relief, because what happened was is someone stepped in and did for me what I couldn't do for myself, because there was no way I was going to stop. I didn't want to stop. All the amount of problems and all the evidence that I had to say that I needed to stop, I was not willing to do that. And for me, you know, they came in, they did that for me. I spent about 7 months in jail, and then through a plea bargain, they released me straight to rehab, which was kind of a good thing, because I thought I was going to get out and go home and then I'd go to rehab. But they showed up at the jail, and like I didn't even hit the street, and they were already putting me in a car, you know. And I remember that day I was like, I was supposed to get out early, you know, like, and I only had 3 weeks left on my sentence at that point. And I was like, hey, can I just do my time? And then, you know, and they said, yeah, you can do the rest of your time, but we're still going to come get you. So, you know, I found myself in a rehab, and, you know, for me, it was... things didn't stop there. I didn't use anymore at that point, but once I was at this rehab and I was an inpatient there, they gave me a job as a cook there, and I was able to get more freedoms than other people. And what my freedoms did, you know, with, you know, I was 7 months sober, or 7 months dry, really, and my best thinking was go hang out with your old friends. Stuff would make me feel like, well, you're better than these people because they're getting high and you're not, you know. And I was there for a while, and I found myself committing crime again. Not drinking, not doing any drugs, but committing crime without any of that stuff in me. And you know, one more time, God intervened, and, you know, I was at their house one night, and they were all sketched out that the police were coming, and I didn't really believe them. I just thought it was the drugs, but at one point, at this point, like, driving around in my car full of stolen stuff, you know, that I'd, like, thinking that the police were following me from in front, you know. And I'm driving around, and I'm trying to figure out where to go dump this stuff, because, you know, the only people I knew that were crooked anymore were all in prison. And I was just, I got to the point where, like, this is insane, because I'm acting just like I'm on drugs right now, and I have nothing in my system and hadn't had anything in my system for 9 months. And at that point, you know, the pain got bad enough for me that I knew that there was something I had to do different. And it was either going to be I was going to use and drink, or I was going to go and I was going to find some help. And I'd met a few people. And I found someone that took me through the steps, you know, and it was someone who did the same exact stuff that I did. And I could relate to this person. And he had a kid that he hadn't seen in a few years. And he had done the same stuff that I did. And we could swap stories and whatnot. But the point was, is I was able to relate to another alcoholic. And I found a comfort with that person. I was able to open up to that person and tell him the deepest, darkest secrets that I said I was never going to tell anybody. You know, and for me, you know, it was slow for me, you know, starting to change my behaviors. It's been a really slow process for me, you know. But you know, today things are really different for me. You know, today I have more stuff than I ever could have asked for, you know, and at this, you know, I'm back in my daughter's life, you know. I have a friend that's a teacher, and I get to go speak at high schools, you know, and to share with high school kids what happened to me. I'm on the board of directors at the rehab that I was at, you know. All these different things that, like, if you were to look at me back then, you'd say, this guy's never going to be able to do any of these things. But today, because so many things were given to me in this program, now I'm able to give it back to everybody else and wherever I can, you know, and that's a blessing for me, you know. Today, I just got to remember that, you know, I tend to be an asshole sometimes. And nothing gives me the right tack like that, you know. I have to learn how to say things, say what I mean what I say, and not say it mean, you know. And today, if I just follow those two mantras, I do all right. So thank you for letting me share.